There is an outline in the bullet on the back of your bulletin this morning, so I ask my brethren to kind of look around and share. Be sure that everyone at least has an outline available to you. I titled it Faith is the Victory, but really I could title it Five Marks of Victorious Faith. It was in the scripture that was read to us this morning. There are five distinctive phrases or identifying marks or descriptions of what, and I say victorious faith because that's in the text also. Somebody might say, well, I have faith. Yeah, but does that faith give you victory? And that's what our lesson is this morning. The author of the letter is John. He's the brother of James, and they're the sons of Zebedee. John's the last living apostle. And he's writing from the Isle of Patmos, where he's been exiled because of his Christianity. And he writes just before the persecution that's under the Roman Emperor Domitian. There were 10 emperors in Rome during this time, and all of them were many involved in the persecution of Christians. And so John, because of his Christianity, was exiled. Now he's writing back to brethren and saying, this is what I want you to know. And I want you to remember, and I put this in your notes, the intent of the letter is not to tell someone how to be born of God, but rather, having been born of God, John is writing to tell you how to live as a child of God. In this letter, he's telling you about a living faith that leads you to victory. He's writing to brethren, those who are already born of God. He's writing to the church, to Christians, to the children of God. And so in 1 John 3, verse 1, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. So now John writes to these brethren about what this life of faith looks like, or should look like. It's a faith that brings victory. So when we think about our life of faith, Paul mentions several times about this Christian life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith. We have a faithful walk. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faith. Faith is an important ingredient in our Christian life. In Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus said, be thou faithful till death. A Christian life, a life of faith. And I'll give you the crown of life, he says. A victorious faith. And you can see them in your notes. Number one, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You have to keep believing. Second, we're going to talk about our love for God. Number three, then we're going to talk about our love for one another. Then number four, that life of faith keeps the commandments. And number five, this life of faith, being born of God, gives us victory over the world. So these five things are in the text that was read to us just a moment ago. These are marks of victorious faith. Number one, let's go back. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, it was that faithful statement that we made before we were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, there's another interesting story when Philip is preaching in Samaria. It says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So there was a faith that brought us to Christ. We believe the preaching message. We believe the good news message that God so loved the world, he gave a son. In Acts chapter 8, this same Philip, in verse 35, is called away from Samaria, and he goes and preaches or teaches to this Ethiopian who's traveling. It says, and Philip joins himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian. It says, and Philip opened his mouth. Beginning from this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The Ethiopian said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and he baptized him. So there's a faith that we express that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And based upon that confession or that statement of faith, we are qualified to be baptized. In Acts 18, verse 8, says many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. So here's this elementary, fundamental, faithful statement that we make that brings us to Christ, and we're baptized. Now John writes to these brethren who are already in the church. They're Christians, been born again. And now he says, I want you to keep confessing that, live a faithful life as evidence, testimony, or witness that you've been born of God. His phrase is, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now we need to be, there's a warning that comes with that. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Because someone says, oh, I believe. All right, is that enough? No. Hebrews 3, verse 12, he says, beware, brethren, says, uh-oh. Kind of like the sign at the railroad thing. Danger, ding, ding, ding. Look out, watch out. He's talking to brethren, Christians. Lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Oh, unbelieving for brethren is an evil. John writes and says, you need to keep believing that Jesus is the Christ as testimony, as evidence, as witness that Jesus is the Christ. Believe that. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor or your faith, your labor of love, your faithful living is not in vain in the Lord. So there has to not, that same faith that brought us to Christ, that went and moved us to be baptized, now must continue to as witness or evidence or proof that we're born of God. There will always be a time when we need to make our confession of faith again, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That lets others know on whose side we stand. It lets others know to whom we belong. That's one mark that identifies us as faithful Christians. It's a victorious faith that stays on God's side. But it's not faith alone. There's four more marks that John mentions in the text. Because someone may say, oh, well, I have faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is born of God. Bless you. But that doesn't stand alone. John, what else do you have to say? Still in verse 1. And everyone who loves him who begot. In other words, God begat us when we were baptized. We became children of God. John says again in chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Ah, so now I need to love God. And they say, well, that's easy. I love God. I need to love him who begat us, made us children. There's a song in our book, I Love the Lord. The song says, I love the Lord. He died my soul to save. On Calvary, his dear life he freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die, that I might live someday with him on high. The chorus is, I love the Lord. Been so good to me. He gave his life from sin to set me free. No greater love than his could ever be. I love the Lord because he first loved me. So someone says, oh, I have faith. Yeah. Now John wants to add to it. Love him who made you children of him. Love. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 22, verse 36, when the lawyer wants to know what's the great commandment. Lawyer wants to know, what's the best that I can be? Jesus said, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and great commandment. Love God. But not just say, oh, I love you. It's not just a shout out. Count me in, God. I have faith that you gave your son, number one, John says, to be a child of God. But now I need to love you. If you love someone, it's more than just a verbal expression. When you love, I love you, God. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Put some effort into it. Number three, and it's still in verse one of the text, also loves him who is begotten of him. Oh. So now, all right, how do I know that I'm a child of God, that I've been born of God? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I love God. Now John adds something else. A third mark or distinction of victorious faith. Loving God and loving one another are combined in the next verse. Verse 2 of the text. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now there's three things. Love God, love his children, one another, and keep his commandments. A mark of victorious faith. That's repeated again. John has this in mind. He emphasizes it over and over again. He doesn't get to give it a one-time expression. 1 John 4, verse 21. This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I have faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. That proves that, or that's testimony or witness that I've been born again. I love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah. Well, now I love one another. Must love his brother also in 1 John 4, 21. Yeah. Love Don. Yeah. Love one another. It's also found in 1 John 3, verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23 of 1 John chapter 3. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Well, there's three marks right there. How do I know that I'm born of God? Right there, 1 John 3, verse 23. Believe, love one another, and it's a commandment. These are marks of victorious faith. Don't be satisfied with your faith alone. Don't do that. Jesus spoke of this mark of discipleship too in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. Well, that's really an old commandment about love one another. But what makes it new? Jesus says a new commandment, love one another. Here it is, as I have loved you. So now he puts the example of love in the definition. It's not just a shout out or a phrase that says, I love you, I'm going to seek the best for you. I'm going to love as Jesus loved his disciples and us. And he says again, that also that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. How do you know you're a disciple? That you've been born again? One mark is that you have love one for another. So marks of victorious faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right. I want to love God. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love the brethren. I love God who begat me. I'm going to love others that God begat. Then number four, it's in verse 3 of the text that was read to us. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Oh. John chapter 14, verse 15, in the words of Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. So now we have this added mark. Oh, Brian, so far I'm with you all the way. Well, I have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have love for my brethren, but keep his commandments? Oh, man, now you've given me a task. Now there's an obligation. A stewardship, a work. Yeah. You say it again. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. John said it again. John, you keep saying this over and over again in your five chapters. But chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you say, oh, God, count me in. I'm on your side. I have those first three. But I'm not keeping your commandments. Then those first three statements, you lie. You can say all you want to. Hold that hand up. God, I love you. But if you don't keep his commandments, John says, by inspiration, you lie. You lie. That's the fourth mark of victorious faith, is that we keep his commandments. And then interesting, the next phrase, his commandments are not burdensome. I put in your notes, who told you that the Christian life is too hard? Who told you that? And then why did you believe it? Christianity, you know what I have to do? I'm going to have to be called upon for Bible study and worship assembly. I have to go there and ministry and stewardship and discipleship. Why do you think that's hard? Who told you that was hard? Heavy. Or something that's a great hardship. Or difficult. Or cumbersome. Or tough. Or weighty. Or laborious. And John, by inspiration, says his commandments are not burdensome. The only reason a cross, carrying a cross becomes a burden, is because you don't carry it, you drag it. You pick it up, and it's easier to walk. You keep his commandments, not burdensome. Don't believe that. That's deceit. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Well, without Jesus, there's the burden. Come to me, Jesus says, you who are who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden. Don't think of Christianity as a hardship, a weight, drag around a ball and chain. It's only a ball and chain if you don't love the Lord. If you don't have your heart, soul, mind, and strength in loving God, then Christianity becomes a burden. You know, God never asked you, when you became a Christian, God never asked you to leave anything that's good for you. In the Bible, the biblical message is God only asked us to leave those things that will hurt us, either spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Those are the things God asked you to set aside and don't do. Those things that hurt, that will hurt you in life and hurt you in eternity. John says, keep his commandments. They're not burdensome. They're not. These are marks of victorious faith. The last one, verse 4, overcomes the world. That's the result of the first four. You put the first four in place, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So John says, in 1 John 2, verse 15, don't love the world. Not put in your notes by definition. Don't allow worldly ways and worldly distractions to take you away from the priority of living faithfully to God. And that's possible. James 4, verse 7, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Yeah. It's possible. Do those things that will ensure success in living by faith. Bible study, prayer, worship assembly, fellowship with brethren, ministry, discipleship. All these things support living by faith and gives you the victory. That's the lesson today. Always when we give a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. There may be some that want to become a Christian, want to be born of God. You may already have that faith that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you haven't been baptized. So we want to do that. Jesus' last words in Matthew 28, in his closing verses, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So Jesus said, I have the authority to say this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that, or make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. I already believe. After Jesus said, take those believers and baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I need to keep going. Mark records the last words of Jesus in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We want to preach a salvation message. And that's what we preach at the close of every lesson. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed that message already. And that's the invitation we extend. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you had that opportunity right now. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation. So if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. Let's stand together in an invitation, public way, just simply let it be known at the close of this song. Number 909.